This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
According to Rena Broomberg, a former 702 station manager and later the managing director of 702 and Cape Talk, Izzy Kirsch, who passed away on Sunday the 18th of May, not only reshaped South Africa's media landscape, he also changed thousands of lives, not only of those whose careers flourished in the industry, but the listeners who benefited from independent news, entertainment, and community services. She told me more about this remarkable man. I'm happy to have my colleague David Sachs, who is also authoring a book on 702, as my guest now, to tell me more about him. David, happy to have you back on High FM.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I was missing the place.
Yeah, you used to be talking like Boer War kind of things and Jewish affairs kind of things. But today, I know, and firstly, just also for your personal loss, I'm very sorry because I know you are incredibly close. And you have been working on this book. Tell me a little bit about the book.
The book, it's a history of Radio 702. It's been going on for years and years. That's actually when I first got to, you know, got to know Izzy and got, you know, to in contact with him and with the family. I can't say I was close to Izzy, but I did see a lot about him, and anybody who knew Izzy, they loved him. He was just that kind of man. He really was very extraordinary, very unusual. But I was brought in. The book had been written by Chris Gibbons and David Williams. They were both two. Chris Gibbons, of course, is quite a legendary figure in the whole history of news broadcasting in South Africa. And David Williams was also with 702 from the beginning. And it's quite a long book. I was brought in to sort of edit and photo and add to. And it went through various versions. I can't tell you how many. But it is now we're about to sign off. Hopefully going to launch at the end of next month.
Sure, so it will be a beautiful tribute to him as well.
Yes. I mean, the big regret was, you know, we'd really wanted it to come out and we were going to have a private launch in the home and present it to him. But Izzy, I mean, he knew, you know, he knew it was being done, and we would also speak to him about clarifying various little things, you know, tweaking it and so on. So he knew it was going to happen. Just would have been nice to actually have the physical book and hand it over to him.
Sure. I'm really sorry. David, people know Izzy for his contribution to the radio industry, but it's not where he started. Do you want to tell us a little bit about his history?
Yeah. He went into radio. That was never the plan, actually. His father, William Kirsch, arrived quite early in the beginning of the 1900s, and he went into the sorghum malt industry. And, you know, for brewing native beer, whatever they called it back then, it was, and he built a thriving industry in Potchefstroom. And he died quite early. And so his wife and son, and two of his sons, that's Izzy and, of course, Natie's a bit older, went into the business. Natie then expanded into Swaziland. Swaziland became independent. They wanted to set up their own radio station. And he was very much involved in the country's affairs. This is Natie we're talking about here, because he's also one of the, you know, actually one of the primary founders of 702. And he brought his younger brother in. Izzy was actually running the sorghum, his own sorghum, the sorghum malt, his branch of the business in Potchefstroom. Do people remember King Corn?
Hmm.
That's it. That was Izzy and his partner, Arnold. Arnold Levy. They set up this thriving business in Potch. I mean, the town council honored them for all that they did. But Natie said, you know, come and run this station, this radio, this Swazi music radio, it was called. And that was a true precursor to Radio 702. And that's how he got into the industry. I mean, the station failed because of bad, you know, technical problems, but it was already had some of the big stars from those early days. So there are from who become big stars in 702, like John Burks was part of it. Stan Katz was there, Gary Edwards, you know, all these veterans. Previously, by the way, and I found this fascinating, they had worked for a thing called LM Radio, which was Lorenzo Marx Radio. That's Maputo now. It was like virtually the only independent, because everything else was controlled by the SABC, you know, very lots of censorship, very staid and conservative and so on. And you could get something a bit different from LM Radio. So John Burks also started there and various others. So in some ways that was a precursor to 702. But yeah, that's how it started. How he managed to get around this monopoly of the SABC. It was like a government monopoly, the whole broadcasting. How did he get around it? Well, it's all to do with the homelands, the whole homelands policy. You know how it worked. You know how the story went. These were supposedly independent homelands, and they were legally independent, which meant that you could set up a radio station in Bop, Bophuthatswana, and broadcast to Joburg and Pretoria and that whole PWV region. And the government couldn't interfere, or they couldn't interfere too much. And that's what they did. They did a deal with Sol Kersner, who was very big in Bophuthatswana and so on, and they launched what was called Channel 702 in early 1980. That's the background. That's how it all started.
It's an incredible story, but also, you kind of wonder, did they imagine when they were starting 702 from what it would become today and how it would change the landscape of the media?
Absolutely not. And of course, it started as a music station. It wasn't a talk station in the beginning. And I think Izzy also knew. I mean, the big Soweto urban market that was being untapped. You needed to reach it if you wanted to make real money and real success. That was part of his vision, I think. But they weren't going out to start a revolution. Partly the fact that they did was partly because of some really incredible legendary talents came to the fore. I mentioned John Burks, of course, and Stan Katz was huge. But then I think the Joburg we grew up in, and this is my milieu, the 1980s Joburg, people really were looking to break out of this whole straitjacket. The apartheid was dying, and there was just this desire to just go beyond the boundaries of what we've been taught and told to think and so on. Similar to something new. It really shook people up and got people interested from a start. So from a cultural point of view, it was a revolution. But also there was the social upliftment aspect. And here we are, I want to talk about Izzy, because this was one of his big... He just wanted to, he gave and gave. He was a giving kind of person, and he wanted to use the radio station to work with the community, be part of it, be embraced by it, and also to help it in many ways he can, to use the station as a vehicle for social upliftment and just helping people. Like there was the 702 helpline, for example, which people would call in with people with problems that had these psych. In fact, he tried to extend it to Chai FM for a while. And they had a kind of a helpline, which he introduced at last about a year. And there was the crisis center also for people in difficulty in Hillbrow, which was 702 set this all up. It cost a lot of money, these things, but Izzy had this vision, and then they started raising funds for various charitable causes, and most notably Operation Hunger. They raised a fortune for, radiothons, appeals on air, and they organized this thing, the concert in the park, which some people might remember. I wasn't there, but the people just talked about it. I think 120,000 people crowded into Ellis Park, and it was a multiracial crowd. This is like the late 1980s, so this is very significant. And about, I'm not sure how many bands were playing, but I know Johnny Clegg was one of them. This mega success, and it was just one of those really big events of the 80s, which showed what South Africa could become, because it was at the time of the political unrest, which was nobody knew that which way the country was going to go. I mean, things were really falling apart. People were leaving. There was censorship, states of emergency, and that's the third aspect of where 702 really made a big difference, and that was through its unbiased news reporting about what was really going on in the country. That's where Chris Gibbons comes in particular. He ran this. He ran it with great integrity and courage and determination, and just to get the story out there. What's happening in the townships? They didn't have an agenda. They were just there to report the facts and get them right. Whereas SABC was trying to cover everything up, which made them unpopular with the government of the day, of course. But they couldn't do anything because Botswana was supposedly independent. It was part of the whole, part of their policy was to create these independent homelands, and they can't now reveal if they were to interfere with Botswana and tell them to shut down the radio station, and that shows that they're not independent. So they were caught.
You know, David, you talk about it growing up in the 80s. I remember actually, like, all the Levitt's children coming into the bedroom by my parents where they had the radio and getting dressed for school so we could all listen to the show in the morning.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, there were competitions and it was like so exciting. And it was, I even remember getting into a fight on the playground when I was like in grade one because somebody was listening to Radio 5 and I was like, no, 702 was the place. Because you were so loyal to it at that time. And and it also had that kind of Jewish flavor. You're proudly Jewish, you know, you could. And I just, there was so much, there were 702 books about Johannesburg and Walk the Talks and all those things that kind of seemed to.
Concerts in the zoo.
Concerts, and it seemed to bring community together.
There we go, yeah. That puts it so beautifully. And that was Izzy's aim. He wanted to use it as a vehicle for this kind of positive social change and bringing the community together.
And it was such that, you know, I remember also listening to the talk shows when at the change of democracy, what people were saying and what people were thinking and how cleverly curated those conversations were, allowing people to speak and allowing everybody an opportunity and to also understand what other people were thinking.
Yeah,
it was such an important part of that time.
It became a magnet, I think, for the country's up-and-coming broadcast talent. Some of them were just discovered, you know, John Burks and people like that were already established, but you know, you've got these big talents coming through, like Alex J, if you remember him. Then John Robbie, it was somebody's idea. I think it was actually John Burks had his idea. Let's bring him in, you know, he's a good speaker. And he was just a sports reporter, but of course he became one of the really big names in 702 land, and especially when they turned to talk radio. And he hacked a lot of people off, but he was really, really good at his job. He was one of the big stars that came through later. And Jenny Chris Williams, of course, and then Dan Mojani. In the early 1990s, he was the first black superstar. No, actually, there was one called Cocky Tubal in the beginning, and I can't pronounce his surname, but basically it was all white in the beginning. But then, of course, the transition to democracy and bringing in, right across the board, all these talents were coming through. Izzy was focused on, it's not just a radio station, it's not just a business. You know, we have a social responsibility, and we can use it as a vehicle for achieving, you know, really good things for the whole country, and they did.
He tried to do it in between Israel and the Palestinian Ramallah,
yes,
but that was not successful.
Yeah. Now, after, it was called Ram FM, from Ramallah FM. He tried to introduce a 702 model of just getting, you know, the Israelis and Palestinians to start talking to each other. And it didn't work. They invested a lot in it. Lost about a year. It's a very, very different struggle. It's not the same thing, I think. If he'd asked me, and he didn't, but this is a very different. This is a religious war. This is not about land. This is about Ishmael against Yitzchak, and it's going to go. No, you're not going to get. Okay, I would have he would have. Yeah, and he would have listened, and he would have saved all that money. But no, the fact is, he tried.
He tried,
and it was an honorable and a noble attempt, and he really tried to do good, and that one didn't work out. In the end, and it was both the Israeli and the Palestinian side because of that. They didn't trust each other. You can't. So,
which is also testament to South Africans and, you know, what we have here.
I think so. In some ways, but it's also different issues.
You can't compare the two situations.
When you're talking about religion, there's no compromise on that. You can compromise on land and racial. I don't know things anyway.
We've got about 3 minutes left, David.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think there's what else did he contribute to South Africa beyond 702?
Well, he was he's one of the founders of the Jewish Report. Actually, that's when I started, when I met him for the... I used to take the minutes for the Jewish Report board meetings, you know. I think the whole Jewish Achievers Award thing was, to a large extent, his brainchild as well. So he was very much a community man, you know, thoroughly involved in contributing to Jewish communal affairs wherever he could, you know. And of course, his son William started Prime Media, which, with his involvement, of course, and Prime Media was one of the really a big company. I don't know what it's doing now. It's still pretty big, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So now between them, the Kirsch family, and of course his brother-in-law is Ali Bacher. It was Ali, actually, who insisted that this book has got to come out because it wasn't going to happen. And he said, as a tribute to Izzy, we've got to bring this book out for him. And Ali gets things done, and he's another history maker. And it looks like it's going to happen. So, but of course, no, they're just finishing off the Shiva week now, and I guess we'll resume shortly.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming in, and also would like to send my condolences to Moshe and the family and wish them all a long life. And
sure.
I look forward to seeing the book. I'm sure there'll be a huge interest, especially our generation who remembers the heyday.
I'm hoping you'll come to the launch, so we'll talk.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Right. That is my colleague David Sachs, and we've been talking about the remarkable contribution that the late Izzy Kirsch made, and mainly to 702.